This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The mention of nuclear weapons in these last days has puzzled and confounded and challenged and worried around the world. News item in these last hours: Russia launches nuclear submarine drills after Putin puts them on high alert. According to the Associated Press agency, goes the report, Russia's Northern Fleet said several of their submarines would be joined by warships to, quote, train maneuvering in stormy conditions. Units of the Strategic Missile Force also dispersed Yars intercontinental ballistic missile launchers to practice secret deployment in eastern Siberia, according to the Russian Defense Ministry. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, is with me. And we go to Peter Husey, who is our guide on all matters to do with nuclear weapons. Peter is a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute. He is a visiting senior fellow at the Atlantic Council. He is the founder of Geostrategic Analysis. Peter, what to make of Putin's remark? What to make of this exercise of the Northern Fleet? Is this ordinary or is there signaling? Good evening to you.
It is ordinary and signaling because the Russians some time ago developed this policy of what General Haitin, the former vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs, called escalate to win. And that is, in a conventional conflict, he would threaten the use of nuclear weapons early on to get us to stand down. Let me quote you a senior Russian general who spoke just last year. In a conventional war, intercontinental ballistic missiles ensure that the opponent is forced to cease hostilities on advantageous conditions for Russia by means of single or multiple preventive strikes against the aggressor's most important facilities. And he goes on to talk about in a nuclear war, Russia would win. That's been around for over 10 years, probably closer to 15 years. That's his policy. Brad Roberts, who's at Lawrence Livermore, used to be a senior defense official, has written a book called Theories of Victory, Red and Blue, red being Russia, blue being the United States. And his point is that Russia has a theory of victory with respect to the use of nuclear weapons. We do not. The second point is, what's their capability? They have upwards of 2,000 to 4,000 of theater systems, which are battlefield nuclear weapons. We have all of about 120 on bombers in England and in Turkey and in Europe, and that's it. And they're on airplanes, bombers, and take a long time to get where they're going. Third issue is, what's Russia's objective? Their objective is to recreate the old Russian Empire, not just the Soviet Empire, but any place where you have ethnic Russian speakers and ethnic Russian people, to basically incorporate them back into Russia. What's the danger? Well, the danger is you don't go around changing borders by force. As Gordon and you both know, that's something that is basically busts up the international system, which the Peace of Westphalia back, 1640, said this is not a thing. And the thing is, arms control, which is where the kind of genuflection of the media goes, oh, we'll solve it through arms control. Over 55% of Russian nuclear weapons aren't even controlled by any arms control deal anyway. So we're at a fix. And that is, Russian nuclear policy hasn't changed. The NATO's response, however, to this, and our response, has been weak, unprepared, because we did not take it seriously. And as Mr. Rumsfeld once said, war is a come-as-you-are business. Whatever you've got available, that's what you're going to come with, because war is going to happen quickly. You're not going to have the Saddam Hussein thing. He invades Kuwait and gives us 5 months to prepare, okay? Or in World War II, where you're building up all through the war, even though after Pearl Harbor, we were very uninformed. So unfortunately, Gordon and John, NATO was not prepared to deal with this fundamental issue. Is Putin believes the use of nuclear weapons are something he can credibly threaten. Okay, at a limited level, in getting us to then stand down. This is not fun stuff, but on the other hand, it is where he is, and he warned about this a number of years ago. And when General Haitin said, "Folks, I think we need to pay attention to this," he was told, "Oh, don't worry, Russia would never do this."
Gordon, you have a report on a doomsday plane. What is the report, please?
On Monday, Boeing E-4B, known as the Doomsday Plan, which allows the President of the United States to talk to the commander of the U.S. Strategic Command, did a 4.5-hour exercise, took off from Nebraska. Although the base wasn't mentioned, it must have been Offutt, where U.S. Strategic Command is headquartered, flew to Chicago, came back. Now, as Peter tells us and everyone knows, every asset in the U.S. is regularly exercised. But nonetheless, this was one day after Putin made his threat. Putin put his nuclear forces on high alert.
You have a question for Peter, Gordon.
Peter, do you think Putin will use nuclear weapons, either tactical ones in Ukraine or strategic ones against us or our allies and partners in the coming months?
He won't use anything against the United States or nuclear armed country, whether Britain, France, the United States. If he starts losing this war or really goes badly, my fear is that he will use chemical weapons or nuclear weapons against the Ukrainians. The problem is, as Bill Schneider, the former head of the Defense Science Board, who's my colleague here at Hudson, he said there really aren't any targets that would make any use of nuclear weapons even, you know, plausible in kind of an evil way in terms of the number of people. You'd kill so much stuff that would be unnecessary, but that I don't think Putin cares. My worry is that he wants us to believe that it is credible that he would use tactical nuclear weapons in a condition in which he wants to, when he's not winning. That, and we talked about that. And that is my real, real worry. The thing is that we have some options. And the thing is, although we're unprepared, particularly in the theater nuclear area, we have almost nothing. We have just gravity bombs. And we haven't thought about this because we've always thought, oh, no, you can't fight anything at the nuclear level because it'll all go to Armageddon. And so there are no options. That's not what our enemies believe. And when they believe they have options, we desperately need to have counter options. And I think the biggest one we have is add 3 million barrels of oil production to our country. I did some math, Gordon and John, the other day, and Putin's making $187 billion a year exporting 5 million barrels of oil a day at $100 a barrel. Well, take it back to where it was when Trump left office at $35 a barrel. You just took $140 billion out of his treasury, and that would hurt. And if you added air and missile defenses to that, and then you added NATO modernization and nuclear modernization, you might, over a five-year period or so, be able to catch up some of this. But as you know, Gordon and John, we are behind the eight ball on this. But oil is the one thing we have that really could work. He's very good at cyber. He's very good at his conventional forces can mass in an area. His nuclear forces are extraordinarily powerful. Diplomacy, we're winning. And on energy, and particularly energy, we can win. But again, Gordon, as you and John, we came to this party unprepared because we did not think he would do it. We thought we just would threaten sanctions and he wouldn't go in. And then he goes in and we say, well, we'll threaten more sanctions so he doesn't try the Baltics.
Clarification, okay? Peter. I need a clarification. I have read that there are tactical nuclear weapons, Iskanders, in Kaliningrad, the exclave behind the Baltic states.
Yes.
Is that confirmed?
Yes, absolutely. This is something we've known. This is a hairy thing because in Kaliningrad, the time to Poland, for example, is in single-digit minutes. And this missile flies very close to the ground and is very difficult to pick up by radar, and we don't have a defense against it because Patriots and THAAD and our air defense, our missile defenses were designed for something that is a totally different flight pattern. So, yes, those are nuclear. He has exercised theater nuclear weapons in Belarus and around Ukraine, just so we get the message. And I think, Gordon and John, the message is stand down and don't interfere.
Gordon, one more question. We have about a minute.
Peter, there's been a failure of deterrence, obviously, for the invasion of Ukraine. For us, it's unthinkable to have a nuclear war. But as you were just mentioning, there could very well be another failure of deterrence. And this could lead us into the next great war. Your comments.
30 seconds.
Our comments is that you have to modernize your nuclear deterrent, which is now on the table. We are behind. Russia's, as on Putin's own words, 83% done. Okay, we have not yet started the production and acquisition. Just barely, we got some bombers coming out, but we're not going to be started in full until 2029, finished in 2042. And that's what the delay after the end of the Cold War has done. Again, we are behind the eight ball on this, and we have to hope that our modernization effort will catch up and that we will not trigger a failure of deterrence.
Peter, is there any way to determine if Iskanders are deployed with his expeditionary force in Ukraine or the one waiting in Belarus? Can we confirm that, or is that a mystery? We have just a few seconds.
Given where they are now, the speed with which they are, no reason not to move them from Iskander. They could get to the Ukraine capital in literally minutes.
Peter Husey of the Atlantic Council of Hudson Institute. He is the founder of Geostrategic Analysis. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.